I'll be speaking on an analysis of STD screening in HIV-infected persons receiving privately insured medical care.
Good morning, everybody. As you said, my name is Anthony Davis, and I'll be presenting my research and analysis of STD screening in HIV-infected persons receiving privately insured medical care. So I'd like to start with some background in public health significance. First of all, my research is based on the CDC STD screening guidelines for HIV-infected persons, which most of you may not know this, but the CDC does recommend asymptomatic routine screening of curable or bacterial STDs, such as chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, be performed at least annually for all sexually active HIV-infected persons. So just looking at HIV in the U.S., just a couple quick slides. There are 1.2 million persons living with HIV in the U.S. as of 2008. That's the most current CDC estimate, which is a 7% increase from the 2006 estimate. As for incidence of HIV, as of 2009, there was 48,100 new infections, with 61% occurring in an MSM or men who have sex with men population. So HIV status and STDs. I pulled this graphic off the CDC website, and I thought it was very important. This is showing the STD surveillance network, a proportion of MSM men who have sex with men attending STD clinics with either syphilis, gonorrhea, or chlamydia by HIV status. And as you all can clearly see, those that are HIV positive, all per anatomical site, doesn't matter which one, all have higher incidences of STDs. So HIV and syphilis co-infection. This graphic is showing 11 high-risk STD clinics throughout the U.S., San Francisco, L.A., Baltimore, regions we know that have high HIV prevalence, and just showing the co-infection rate with syphilis. And I pulled this graphic because of syphilis being such a concentrated epidemic and it having a high co-infection with HIV. So like STDs in HIV-infected persons, just a couple quick points. One, STDs do increase HIV risk, transmission, and acquisition. STD testing and treating can be an effective tool for HIV and STD prevention. And really, diagnosing STDs in HIV-infected persons can help identify those with high-risk sexual behavior, so those who are participating in unprotected sex and are spreading their HIV as well as acquiring STDs. So next, increased susceptibility. STDs do increase susceptibility to HIV by two mechanisms. One, general ulcers or syphilis result in breaks in the general lining, which creates a portal of entry for HIV. And second, the inflammation resulting from those general ulcers or non-ulcerative STDs, such as chlamydia or gonorrhea, increases the concentration of cells and can serve as targets for HIV. Next, increased infectiousness. Men infected with gonorrhea and HIV are more than twice as likely to have HIV in their general secretions than those who are only infected with HIV. So you can see the synergy with STDs and HIV. Next, the median concentration of HIV in semen is as much as 10 times higher in men who are infected with both gonorrhea and HIV as opposed to those just infected with HIV. So the point to take home in all this is the higher concentrations of HIV in the semen or general fluids, the more likely it is that the HIV will be transmitted. So the public health significance of my research. One, estimating the STD screening rates among these HIV-infected persons will, one, determine if provider-oriented interventions are necessary to increase STD screening rates, and two, it will identify what further research is needed to explain barriers for compliance, granted that these screening rates are low. So next, I'll go into my methods. Similar to Elaine, I used the Market Scan database. I did my analysis in the year 2009, which was the most current data at the time. The Market Scan database has 39 million privately insured patients. The data is collected from employers, health plans, state Medicaid agencies. It consists of inpatient and outpatient claims, as Elaine said, from over 80 commercial health plans, represents about 150 large firm employers, and data is from approximately 100 payers. So the participants in my study, I had a sample size of 54,056 HIV-infected persons. I pulled that from the 29.5 million that were between 18 and 64, and they were all diagnosed with HIV, meaning they had an ICD-9 code that gave them an HIV diagnosis. And to assess STD screening, I used CPT codes, current procedural terminology. And the reason I used CPT codes is because I was interested in those that were screened, not those that were diagnosed. So there's a difference between the two. So my variables of interest, I also looked at a few covariates that we thought might contribute to compliance with STD screening rates, those being age group, as you can see the four listed there, sex, male versus female, health plan type, FFS, fee-for-service, HMO, health maintenance organization, PPO, preferred provider organization, POS, point of service with cap and without cap, capitation referring to a physician being paid a fixed amount of money annually for their patients, whether or not their patients seek treatment. And region, the Northeast, the North Central, South, and the West. All my data was analyzed using SAS version 9.2, and I used the chi-square test for statistical significance with a p-value of less than 0.05. And this is just showing the four regions, the blue corresponding to the west, the red corresponding to the south, the yellow, the north central, and the green, the northeast. So my results. There are just some descriptive frequencies of the variables, the four covariates. As you can see, the majority of my participants were between the 35 and 54-year-old age group. There were more than three times as many males as females in my study. Most of my participants had PPO insurance, almost 70%, and about half of the population resides in the southern region. Next up, these are the screening rates. As you can see, there are about 17% for chlamydia and gonorrhea, about 42% for syphilis, and for all three, which is the CDC recommendation, they were screened for all three of these STDs, only about 13%. So next I'll go into my covariates. This is the first one, STD screening rates by age group. Just to preface before I get into it, you are actually looking at the difference between the categories, not the STDs. So you're, in essence, you're comparing the green bars to the green bars and the red bars to the red bars. You're not looking at the colors themselves. So as you can see, there is statistical significant variance among all the age groups between in all the STDs, with the highest being in the lowest age group, which actually is a good thing. Next, we'll look at STD screen rates by sex. As you can see, females are more likely than men to be screened for all three STDs, especially chlamydia and gonorrhea, with men being screened more, a little bit more for syphilis than females. This is STD screen rates by health plan type. As you can tell here, PPO insurance, they tend to be screened more than the other, with fee-for-service being the least of the three. Once again, there was statistically significant variance among all of the STDs. And last but not least, region. Northeast having the best screening rates for syphilis, chlamydia and gonorrhea being in the west, and the south having the worst screening rates of all of the regions, which is problematic since most of us know that the south has a high prevalence of STDs and HIV. So getting to my discussion and key findings, as you can see, as you saw before, most of the HIV-infected persons in my study were not screened for STDs per the CDC recommendation. Only 12.9% received screening for all three of the STDs I analyzed. These low screening rates do indicate barriers for compliance, with statistical variance being among all the variables I tested. Further research is needed to explain these low screening rates, especially for those who reside in the South and those who are men compared to females. A range of quality interventions are necessary. And I would like to just read aloud this quote. I think it's very important. According to the CDC, HIV prevention in this country has primarily focused on persons who are not HIV infected to help them avoid becoming infected. However, significant reduction of HIV transmission will require new strategies with an emphasis on preventing transmission by HIV infected persons. Our interventions really need to be tailored towards HIV infected persons, not so much those who are not infected. Limitations of my data. As Elaine said, there was no racial or ethnicity data, which is very problematic because I can't be entirely sure that my population was representative of those known to be at high risk for HIV, such as African Americans, Latinos. Secondly, age group is not really representative of those known to be at high risk for STDs. The 18 to 24-year-old age group tends to be at highest risk and highest incidence with in regards to STDs, but only 4% of the patients in my study were between the ages of 18 and 24, and that's why I had the 18 to 34 when I was comparing the age groups to have some statistical comparisons between the groups. I needed a higher percentage of people. Most enrollees did have PPO insurance, which is slightly problematic because that could be indicative of a higher SES. And as most of us have heard in these past sessions, HIV and STDs tend to disproportionately affect the poor and low income. This was a very large convenient sample. It was not random. Data is mostly from large employers, so medium and small firms are not represented. And data access requires data management software pertaining to the CDC personnel, so this makes it difficult for me to go back and compare, for instance, this year to next year or the year after, or to do further analysis. And I would like to close by acknowledging my CDC mentors, Drs. Thomas Gisk and Karen Hoover in the back, and Dr. Udusai. Thank you very much. I'll be happy to answer any questions. None? I'm off the hook? No way. Okay.
So I'm new to this area, but I understand that in like Ryan White clinics, which is different than the populations you're looking at, there are some optional quality indicators for STD testing. And I'm just wondering if what interventions would you propose in the folks who are in private plans? Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we wouldn't be able to use that mechanism necessarily to either monitor or sort of enforce STD testing. And so I'd love your thoughts on that.
Thanks. Good question. I have a couple of thoughts or points, I guess. One, you hear a lot of about the those that are not aware of their status being the ones that are infecting, they're spreading HIV. So you have those that are 20% of people with HIV don't know they have HIV, and those are the ones accounting for about 50% of the infections. And I think a lot of people get stuck on that and focus on the fact that we need to get GYT, get yourself tested, know your status. But we still have those people who are HIV infected who are accounting for the other half of the infections. So I think it's very important to not just become complacent with those that don't know their status. I think it's very important to have providers talk with these patients and interview with these patients and have them know the risk that they're spreading, know that they need to use protection, things of that nature. I also think that physicians, in order to properly screen for STDs, especially in the MSM population, because that accounts for 61% of new infections, I think you have to have like a detailed sexual history. For instance, if for rectal chlamydia or rectal gonorrhea, for instance, if a urine test wouldn't pick that up, you'd have to have a detailed sexual talk with them and know which anatomical site to swab, and I don't think physicians are doing that either. So having a more open communication and more being more open to, I guess, being more open to what they, to the conversation with your patients in order to figure out when to screen them, how, what site, and which site to screen them. If that makes sense. Anyone else?
Thank you. I know CDC is very interested in this topic and getting more STD testing in HIV-infected populations. So very interesting to hear from the private sector.